This podcast includes information provided by the issuer and does not express the views of the interviewer. This podcast may also include forward-looking statements by the issuer that involve certain risks and uncertainties to its business. Because forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, the issuer's actual results could differ from those indicated in this podcast. Welcome to the Planet Microcap Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Kraft, and thank you all so much for the support and for tuning into the Planet Microcap Podcast. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Bobby K. Kraft. That's B-O-B-B-Y-K-K-R-A-F-T. You're listening to episode 17 of the Planet Microcap Podcast. Before we get started with our next interview on the Planet Microcap Podcast, I wanted to catch you up on what we featured on StockNewsNow.com recently. We featured articles highlighting video interviews with the following companies: Oculus Innovative Sciences, Inc., OCLS on NASDAQ, Torchlight Energy Resources, Inc., TRCH on NASDAQ, Medigus Limited, MDGS on NASDAQ, Pressure Biosciences, Inc., PBIO on the OTCQB, Rock Creek Pharmaceuticals, Inc., RCPI on the OTCQB, Stevia First Corporation, STVF on the OTCQB, and Pineapple Express, Inc., PNPL on the OTC Pink. We also published articles from the Microcap Review Magazine Winter Spring 2016 issue. How Cool Is This? By Charles Payne. Microcap Outlook 2016 by Jim Collins. Digging Deep to Find the Bottom by Nick Hodge. And articles profiling the following companies: Provectus Biopharmaceuticals, Inc., PVCT on the NYSE market, and the Singing Machine Company, Inc., SMDM on the OTCQB. For this episode of the Planet Microcap Podcast, I spoke with Brent Cook from Exploration Insights. One of the first conferences I went to since joining the business was a mining and resources conference back in 2011 and 2012 during the natural resources bull market. Now, during that time, I was meeting a lot of experts in the field, and the one person I gravitated towards the most was my guest on today's show, Brent Cook. Geology is not an exact science, and picking the right company that has a promising resource can be difficult. It helps learning from geologists who analyze and look at these rocks on a daily basis. Brent has been in the business for a long time and has seen a lot of rocks. The goal for this episode is to get a general understanding of the mining and junior mining sector, the business itself, opportunities when investing in junior mining companies, his criteria, tips to analyzing mine results and PEAs, plus a lot more. Thank you again for tuning into episode 17 of the Planet Microcap Podcast. Please enjoy my interview with Brent Cook, but first, a word from our sponsor. If you're looking to find the next great microcap idea, join us for the third annual Growth Capital Expo, May 3rd through the 5th, 2016 at Caesars Palace in exciting Las Vegas. You will have the opportunity to meet and network with a who's who from the microcap stock market. The Growth Capital Expo combines education with networking and access to C-level executives. Early bird registration is now open. It's easy to register. Just go to growthcapitalexpo.com. See you in Las Vegas. For this episode of the Planet Microcap Podcast, I have Brent Cook from Exploration Insights on the program. Brent, welcome to the Planet Microcap Podcast.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Pleasure's all mine. So Brent has a newsletter called, the Exploration Insights newsletter. And we've done interviews many times at previous conferences. So for today, we want to do an educational overview about the mining sector and what that all means. So let's start off, Brent, with your background. Please take the floor.
Sure. Glad to. I'm a geologist. I've been in the mining and exploration business for 32 years now, I think it is. I've done everything from real early stage exploration for metal deposits right up through feasibility studies, bank audits. I was involved in the privatization of the Zambian copper company and the Brazilian copper iron company when that happened. So I've seen all aspects of it. I've lived in three countries and worked countries. So I've got a good background on, you know, all the different deposit types. Plus, in 1997, I joined up with Rick Rule, who is probably the best resource investor in the United States anyway, as his mining analyst, which brought me into the money side of things, the making money, the stocks, financing, and that. And then in 2002, I started writing my own investment letter, which is basically about what I'm doing with my money in the sector, what I'm buying, what I'm selling, what I'm avoiding, as well as some perspective on what I see happening in the sector, how I see things going down. So in a real quickly, that's my background.
Well, so as I said, for this episode, I want to do an overview on the junior mining sector. And when I mean junior mining, I mean on the mining side of things, generally what we'd all say are the microcap stocks and the microcap companies in the mining sector. So you could probably give a much better overview than that than I just did. But so with that, Brent, can you give me an overview of the junior mining sector? And also, why is this space important and why are you so focused here?
Well, I think the main reason I'm focused here is, you know, number one, I really enjoy geology. I find it fascinating. I learn something new every trip I take. Secondly, the risk to reward is just outrageous in that a company with a market cap of, call it $5, $10, even $20 million, can be looking for a deposit and make a discovery that is worth $1 billion. So your chances of a 10-bagger plus are really quite high if you're on the right one. And that's what's critical is, you know, knowing how to evaluate these projects, knowing how to evaluate early stage rock sample results, drill results, that sort of thing. And I think it's akin to what I think you've been talking about previously, the biotech sector, where it's all research and development, and there's a lot of companies doing it. And if you own the right one, make some sort of discovery, it's incredible.
And also, you know, just real quick, like what is, when I say junior mining, what does that mean? You know, can you tell me that real quick?
Junior mining, it's small companies, generally sub, in my view, sub 100 million market cap, that are in the early stage of discovering, exploring for a metal deposit, or even developing the discovery they found by upgrading the confidence in the resource, getting ready to put a feasibility study together where you value it, and then going out and raising the money. So it's that sort of company is that I really like to focus on. Now, certainly right now, given how battered this sector is, there's probably money to be made as well in the large caps, being companies like Barrick and Randgold and Newmont, those sorts of companies. But I tend to focus on the smaller ones because I've got an advantage there.
Okay, so I want to take a step back because I want to know a little bit about the business of mining and natural resources. You know, how does that work? You know, maybe we need a brief history on the significance of metals as both a currency and industrial good.
Well, certainly gold and to a lesser degree silver have been the currency for centuries. I mean, this has been used way back BC because it's rare. And it's something that a government cannot devalue. Gold has an intrinsic value that's set by the world. And consider this. I think, you know, gold doesn't sell for, what, $1,200 an ounce because it's easy to find. It's very difficult to find and own. So it's something that will always have value, always has had value. And you see the value of owning gold over most currencies in that over time, even the U.S. dollar has devalued by something like 90-something percent over the past 100 years, whereas the gold has not. So I think as a currency or hedge against fiat currencies, gold is certainly worthwhile. And we're seeing that, you know, coming this year, gold has been outperforming all currencies. If you own the ruble or heaven forbid, the Zimbabwe dollar, your currency is devalued 49 to 1,000%, whilst gold has maintained its value. So that's the value of gold. In terms of metals, copper, lead, zinc, nickel, platinum, palladium, those are industrial metals. Without those, we would not have a modern world. I forget the details. We should look that up. But how much copper actually goes into a home, or how much metal actually goes into a laptop computer, those sorts of numbers are pretty interesting, and it's clear that our modern society could not function without metal. I mean, virtually nothing would work without the metal, down to the farming where you've got the tractors and such, our computers and all the stuff that goes into it, the power lines, etc. So the use of metal and demand for metal is not going down, and it will continue to go up.
And so, okay, you actually brought this up a little bit earlier, and one thing when it comes to microcap investing, and that I've seen over and over again, is that when I talk with other investors, you know, the two sectors I hear over and over again as places that people are hesitant to enter as an investor are healthcare being one, and resources and mining being the other. You know, with resources in particular, because investors, they don't want to rely on predicting the cycles for metals prices. You know, why for them is this a concern, or is this a complete misnomer?
No, certainly a concern. I mean, metals, commodities in general, are cyclical. They always have been, clear back to the salt mines of Africa, in that, you know, there's oversupply, then the price collapses, then there's undersupply, underproduction, and the metal starts to rise again. That's what's happening right now. We've had a boom from about 2002 until really 2011 and 12, and since then, metal prices and the metals investment sector has just collapsed from its high in 2011. The indices that I follow, that follow the junior miners and the miners themselves, are down 80 to 90%. So it is extremely volatile. And the way you make money in the sector is, all sectors, is buy low and sell high. It's always hardest to buy low when you look out into the future, and you know, there's not a lot of positive news on the economic front across the globe. But this is when you have to start looking at these mining companies, look at these exploration companies that offer the potential of supplying the metal as demand increases or even continues as it is. So I guess that's the reason to be involved in this. I think the timing right now is looking pretty darn good, particularly for precious metals.
Okay, and another concern that I get from a lot of investors that I speak with, as with healthcare, is that they need a degree in biology to be a successful healthcare investor. And in mining, people think they need a geology degree to be a successful mining investor. So while they do help, you know, what is your advice for those who don't have a geology background but are interested in investing in mining companies?
Well, the simplest way is just to buy the various ETFs, that sort of thing. And that is what I would advise anyone to do who really doesn't want to get into this and is happy with the general returns as the commodity cycle picks up again. I think, like biology, the mining sector is extremely complex, probably more so, in that you're dealing with, if you're exploring for a metal deposit, for instance, you're dealing with a limited amount of data at surface that you can see. You can see the geology, you can sample the rocks. Often what you're looking for, you can't see because it's hidden. So then you've got to go to esoteric geophysical electrical methods to try and determine what the differences in rock type are down below. They don't tell you there's mineralization. They only tell you the changes in the rock type. So you're drilling these holes almost blind, hoping to make a discovery. And then you throw on top of that, then, you know, each deposit is different. You've got to look at the metallurgy. How are you going to get the gold, for instance, out of the rock? What's that going to cost? Then you look around at what's it going to cost to build the infrastructure to make the mine, to make the mill and such. And then on top of that, you throw on the geopolitical situation where there's taxes, unstable jurisdictions. There's also environmental issues to deal with. There's native title issues to deal with. It is an incredibly complex investment arena, if you will. And I think honestly, if you're going to get involved in this, you need to have someone advising you who knows the sector. You'd be a broker, a newsletter writer, or a brother who's in the sector. Otherwise, you might get taken advantage of. So I think it's real important to have a solid, knowledgeable advisor in this sector.
What I want to know, you kind of went into it a little bit, but I want to know more about the opportunities when investing in junior mining companies. What are the different stages for these companies and in this space as an investor?
Right, that's a good point. I don't mean to scare people away from this at all. I think it's a fascinating sector to be in, and because there's so much uncertainty in there, there's a lot of opportunity for people to make money along the way. And, you know, in my newsletter, I do speak a lot about, I try and educate people as to what I'm seeing, how to look at these projects, how to look at results, and value these companies. And there's a lot of free information on my website, too, I would direct your listeners to. I think, what was the question again? I'm sorry.
No worries. No, so what I was saying is that what are the different opportunities when investing in junior mining companies? Just kind of getting into it a little bit more from the perspective of what are the different stages? So, okay, I'm a geologist. I see, you know, I have a land package here, you know, and I think there might be gold under there, you know, go. What happens next? Like, how does it all work?
Exactly. That's a good one. And this is a very typical cycle that the mining cycle goes through on an individual company, ignoring market influences, is that a tiny microcap company, much like a biotech company, has an idea. They do the initial research, scientific research, come up with results that are encouraging and show you that there's a possibility that on the ground they hold, there's an undiscovered mineral deposit, a gold deposit. So they do the initial work. As the results come out and continue to show that their thesis is holding up, the share price begins to rise. If at some point along this stage they drill a hole and are successful in that it's showing that, yes, there could very well be a very rich deposit here, you see the share price spike up considerably. As the evaluation of this new discovery takes place, that is the key part where investors need to watch the results and gauge those results against the investment thesis or the scientific thesis. Normally, as in biotech, it fails. But that lift between the initial samples and the point where it starts to become obvious that the mine might not work can be 2, 3, or 4 times on your money there. And we've made a lot of money doing that and then getting out of a stock before it becomes obvious that the metal deposit, for whatever reason, is not economic. On the good side, if it continues to prove that your thesis is right and that there is an economic deposit there, you can do exceptionally well, getting 10 or 20, or there's some examples I've got from the last bust where we made 10,000% on our money. So in that respect, it is a lot like a junior biotech company coming up with some sort of cure for a disease. So there's the real fun in this sector is in that early stage. The second bit is once a company makes a discovery and gets the process of evaluating it, you know, putting numbers to it, doing the metallurgy, doing the cost benefit analysis, how it's going to be built, the stock generally declines until the point where they've got a bankable feasibility that shows what this thing is worth, and they get financed. And then again, the share price will go up because they've got something of value. You can actually run a net present value calculation on it. So those are the two phases, if you will, of the junior mining cycle.
And then, and just, you know, so that we know, like once, let's say, for instance, it shows that they have an economic deposit, you know, what are the next steps after that? It then, you know, you tell me.
They, okay, you've got you do a study that shows that it's economic. Then you've got to raise the money to build the deposit. And it can be $100 million to $1 billion or so dollars to build the deposit. What we see happening is then the banks come in, they do their investigations. So you get a loan and you raise the money through equity. But as the uncertainty in this deposit diminishes, the valuation goes up, basically.
And so, okay. All right. So then, all right, I'm gonna go to this question because I think this ties into exactly what we're talking about and what new investors will probably find incredibly confusing. I know I did when I first started looking at these things, but it has to do with analyzing mining results and PEAs, whether a deposit is economic or not. So what are some tips to analyzing this data? How is a newbie when looking at it take in this information?
Well, that's a huge question, and it depends on a company by company basis. I think number one, ignoring the geology and such, is management honest? Are they invested? For instance, are they shareholders? It's real important that the management's interests are aligned with shareholders. Basically, so if the share price goes up, they make money as well. That's a real simple criteria. This is a costly business. It takes a lot of money to explore, to drill, that sort of thing. So always look at a company's balance sheet. If they don't have the money needed to last a couple of years, there's an issue there. That's a red flag of sorts. I think it's real important, and this comes down to actually talking to the company, but do they understand what they're looking for? Meaning, do they know what it looks like? And more importantly, do they know what it doesn't look like? Too many of these companies continue putting money into what I would consider a lost venture or a failure. So set out your investment thesis. For instance, you're buying this company because you're expecting positive drill results on this project. If they continue to come back positive, your investment thesis is validated and you stick with it. If they're not, then you got a problem. On an individual basis, this is where it gets tough because in some instances, a deposit creating 1 gram per ton of rock, 1 gram gold, could be extremely economic. But if that same deposit sits under 200 meters of rock, it's no longer economic. So you've got to factor in, basically, you've got to factor in what is it going to cost to get to the rock and pull it out. And, you know, to be honest, that's where it gets a bit more difficult. Certainly, the better the grade, meaning the more grams per ton or the more percent copper per ton that are announced in the news releases, the better the chances are the deposit works. But that's it gets tough. I wish there was a simple answer, but there honestly isn't.
Yeah, I mean, it just takes time and practice. So would you say the best thing to do is just look at these results as they come out and just so that you can kind of get used to it so you can understand, okay, well, this is what this means. This is how others have reacted to this. Would you say that's a good at least start?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. Certainly there's a lot of information available on the internet on deposits that work and don't work and what grades and this, that. And as I said, there's a lot of information on my website that I'm happy to throw out there. There's chat rooms, although I think for the most part they're filled with nut jobs. it's a matter of education, but I think it's well worthwhile putting some time into it if you're interested, because right now we are, as I said, down considerably from the highs, 80-90%, and we're bouncing along the bottom of this market. And if it improves, as I think it will, certainly in the precious metal space, you know, a rising tide does more or less lift all boats. So you've got the wind with you, if you will. If you just are careful and buy legitimate companies doing legitimate work run by honest people.
Okay, so Brent, for your newsletter audience, when you're going out there and you're looking for a new company as a potential investment, what are your criteria that you take into consideration when looking at a potential investment in a new or even an idea that you may have been following for a while in a junior mining microcap company?
Right. I think, you know, with the obvious, you know, how involved is management, how honest are they, what sort of cash the company's got and how long that takes them, it really comes down to the deposit. What I'm looking for is indications on the ground and in the scientific data that tell me they're potentially onto a major mineral system, meaning a geologic environment that is capable of producing a major discovery or a major deposit, something large enough to be significant. What my exit strategy is on these is ideally I want my junior company to find a deposit that is so good that they don't have to build it, that another larger mining company comes in and buys the deposit. That's the biggest win we can get, and that's really what I'm after. And so my focus is on large mineral systems, and you can tell that after a little while whether a company is looking at a large or small system. And I'm afraid more often than not, companies are looking or end up trying to, you know, prove up deposits that ultimately aren't large enough to make a significant impact on the share price. And by that, I mean I'm looking at something that takes my microcap up 10 times plus.
Okay, so then in that respect, I mean, yeah, the results are obviously very important, but it's also management that's really important at this level. So, you know, what characteristics should beginning investors look out for in mining management, both positive and negative?
I think it's real important that the management have some sort of experience in the deposit type they're looking for. For instance, have they been involved most of their life looking for gold deposits in the Andes or Rockies? You know, that's a specific type of deposit, and over time, you get to know these things. You get to know what's wrong, what's right. You can recognize a good mineral system versus a bad one. So that experience is really critical. Likewise, your jurisdiction as well. I mean, if you've worked most of your life in Chile and Argentina, and that's where you're looking for, that's where your property is right now, that's a real advantage as opposed to someone who's spent most of life working in Chile and Argentina and is now over in Burkina Faso trying to promote a stock or an exploration target. So relevant experience to what you're doing is really important. Secondly, they need to be financially involved as well, meaning if they are successful, the share price goes up and we all make money. So they need to, you know, they need to make money on the share prices like us. That's what we're there for. We're not there for a technical success. Those are the two main ones. I guess honesty, but that's, you know, that takes a while to figure out. You can do background searches on most of these managements and get a feel for what they've done in the past. That, I think, is the real important part in terms of looking at the management.
So, you know, you say you've been in this, you've been doing it for a little over 30 years. What investing experience would you say that you learned the most from?
Well, obviously mistakes, which I've made many. I think probably the biggest mistake I've made, and I hope I don't do this anymore, which is the wrong term, but when your investment thesis changes from certainty, knowing what you're doing, to one of hope, for instance, results come out, they're not terribly positive, the stock goes down a bit, and you change to hoping, well, maybe something good will happen and it'll go back up and I can get my money or back. That's always a losing strategy. What I've learned is if your investment strategy, or investment thesis, I should get out of it, take your loss, and move on. Holding on, hoping for good news, rarely works. So that's the biggest lesson I've learned. The second, I guess, is really keep track of what's going on. Don't lose sight of why you bought the stock, and just make sure that the data coming in validates your reason for owning the stock.
Okay, so what are some of the resources that you use that helps you when you're doing research and due diligence on these companies?
Well, I go to a lot of sites. There are a number of sites that give out news releases. I've got an account at Yahoo and StockWatch where I can get direct news releases as they're released sent to my email. I think my website has useful information. There's also very good geotechnical information available for free on Global Sprott Resources website. They've got a geologist that's put together a whole series on different deposit types. That's really where I get most of my information. Plus, I spend a lot of time going through the technical reports that these companies put out. And I'm sure if that would interest many of your listeners, but that's, if you want the details, you go there and you start looking at the results, looking at sections, looking at the geology. That's where I spend most of my time.
Okay, so in closing, what advice would you give to new microcap investors looking at mining companies?
I think it's really important to recognize that the mining stocks and mining in general is cyclical. It's important to realize that we've come off a boom. We're into a bust phase. I think it's a bottoming phase, so your timing is really good. If you just want to play it for fun in general, ETFs are the way to go. If you want to get into the details of it, and I think this is a really profitable venue if you put the time into it, start reading the news releases. Start listening to people who know the sector. Do the research. And start getting a handle on what these deposits look like, what the valuations of these deposits are. For instance, there's if I can give a stock company, as an example, a company called Lakeshore Gold, which I bought late last year, that just had a takeover offer from another company, Tahoe Resources. And although it's not a big win, I'd say, well, it's decent. Over 3 months, we'll get a 50% increase if this takeover happens and look like it's going to. But that Lakeshore had turned around a deposit. They were making money. They were hard mining engineers running it. And they turned a mediocre deposit into a good deposit. You could see that in the cash flow and earnings. And it was good enough now that another company's coming to take them over.
Okay, Brent, so that website, let's get the website and where people can go and find more information about you. You speak to the media quite a bit, so where can people go and find more information about Brent Cook?
Well, you can certainly Google me. My website is explorationinsights.com. On there, there's a number of free informational reports. There's actually two that I think are worth reading. Is titled, What Was It Like, Dad? And in this, I went through, it was generated by a subscriber of mine asking me, what was the last bust like? And so I wrote these, and I think it's really worth reading that so you can see how they play out, and they're free on my website. There's also a media tab where you can catch most of my interviews and such. More detail, geology, Sprott Global Resources, I think is the website. That's easy to find. And there's a section there with photos as well as trip reviews and details on various geologic deposits. The Northern Miner, a Canadian publication, puts out lots of good information on stocks. Those are what come to mind.
Cool. But your website, explorationinsights.com, correct?
That's right.
Okay. And Brent, thank you so much again for coming on to the podcast. I really do appreciate it, and look forward to seeing you soon.
do appreciate the opportunity. I hope it was useful.
It was. Thank you.
All right, bye.
Thank you all for tuning into the Planet Microcap podcast, and thank you, Brent, again for coming on to the program. You can access the podcast by going on to stocknewsnow.com under podcast, go to podbean.com and search Planet Microcap podcast, or on iTunes and search Planet Microcap podcast. Stay tuned for the next Planet Microcap podcast, where we'll have our next week in review and have another exciting guest to discuss all things microcap. If you have any questions or comments about the podcast, please send an email to info@stocknewsnow.com. I'd love to hear from all of you. This podcast has been brought to you by SNN Incorporated, publishers of StockNewsNow.com, the official microcap news source, and the Microcap Review magazine. I'm your host, Robert Kraft, and thank you again for joining me on the Planet Microcap podcast. Have a great week, everyone.